It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent RodHunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show. It's always good to have you. This is a program that talks about both religion and the news. Well, this week, religion is in the news. President Donald Trump does not go to church very often. He does seem to believe in God more now. He always has, but a lot more since the obvious divine intervention that saved his life from a would-be assassin's bullet. But he doesn't go to church much. Politically, that does not concern me. He has done more for religious liberty and free speech than many of our past so-called Christian presidents. Still, as a Christian, I would love to see anybody closer to God, and I can't help but think that maybe Trump would return to church more often if he had a few pleasant church experiences once he got there. That is not what happened when just one day after his inauguration, he attended, per the tradition, Washington's National Cathedral. Presiding over the service, Episcopalian Bishop Reverend Marianne Edgar Buddy, who instead of preaching from the Bible, treated Trump to a lot of left-wing blather and pontification. She addressed Trump personally while facing the entire audience. She asked for mercy, both for illegal migrants and transgender children. I don't know if I can make my voice sound as sickeningly sweet as hers, but these were her words. "And the people who pick our crops and clean our office buildings, who labor in poultry farms and meatpacking plants, who wash the dishes after we eat in restaurants and work the night shifts in hospitals, they may not be citizens or have the proper documentation, but the vast majority of immigrants are not criminals." She also said, "There are gay, lesbian, and transgender children who fear for their lives." This was an obvious reference to the executive order about there being two genders, and another executive order banning DEI from all government agencies and going after private corporations, inasmuch as DEI is nothing more than dressed-up racism and discrimination in the name of fighting racism and discrimination. The New York Post did a pretty good job of describing the reaction from Team Trump. The president, first lady, Vice President J.D. Vance and their families retained admirable composure during the grossly inappropriate lecture, but displeasure was written on every face. Donald Trump curled his lips slightly and looked away with scorn. Melania Trump narrowed her eyes and glared at the bishop without blinking. If looks could kill, Buddy would have expired on the spot. Vance cocked his head in disbelief and glanced over at Trump to take his cue on how to handle the affront. Other Trump family members exhibited stoic disdain with mouths aghast or a slight shake of the head. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let me unpack some of this. First, let's avoid false issues. No point getting off on tangents. Some people have a problem with female pastors. Some of my fellow Christians have a problem with female pastors, and they'll use this incident to vindicate themselves. If you followed my radio show and ministry and books, you know I do not have a problem with female pastors and teachers. I think they're called for and allowed in the Bible. I think some are taking other passages out of context. God's call and gifts are to both genders. My only issue with this pastor is not in the fact that she is a female teacher, but in the teaching itself. I'm also hearing a lot of talk about the fact that a church service isn't the place for politics. That is not necessarily true. I don't think politics should have to come up in a church service often, but it's not inappropriate when it does. And as a general rule, in the church or outside of the church, I have no problem with Christians getting involved with politics. It can happen in the church, it can happen on the radio, it can happen anywhere. Jesus himself called out the evil political leaders of his day. His followers may do the same. The very theme of this radio show is Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. By the way, while we're on the subject, complaining about politics in a church service is disingenuous. What people usually mean is they don't want to hear politics they disagree with at a church service. I'll never forget the conversation I had with an atheist where he said, "A lot of the problems I have with you Christians are that you don't recognize separation between church and state." Well, putting aside the fact that separation between church and state is not really a phrase in our Constitution, I asked him for an example. He said it was inappropriate that Christians spoke against abortion or had rallies and protests against abortion, some of them on the steps of Washington. I said to him, "Well, then, did you have a problem with the civil rights movement, the March on Washington led by Martin Luther King, who was a pastor, the Reverend Martin Luther King, who did it in the name of Christianity, who referred to the Bible to speak out against segregation?" He says, "Oh, no, that was different. That was very appropriate." I said, "All right, then you don't have a problem with Christians getting involved in politics. You just have a problem with Christians getting involved in politics you disagree with." Anyway, my point right now, no problem with politics and church. Having said that, this particular sermon in this particular church at this particular time was inappropriate. The wrong message for the wrong occasion. In a church service, you don't pick out one person in the congregation and preach only to him, even if he is the president. If she wanted to talk with President Trump about issues, she could have asked for some private one-on-one time. She was expected to use this historic interfaith service to bless the incoming administration, to pray for God's direction and protection for our country. Now, the bishop claimed she was saying all this for the sake of unity. Yeah, unity. Unity alienating the one half of the country who voted Trump and his policies into office. These voters for Trump included many from the Latin American community who are bothered that after all the years and hard work they went through of entering our country legally, others are now getting in illegally, not playing by the same rules. Trump voters also included many from the LGBTQ community. Obviously, they aren't seeing Trump as a man without mercy. What do they know that Pastor Buddy doesn't know? Trump appointed Scott Bessent, an openly gay man, as Secretary of the Treasury. His confirmation will make him the highest-ranking openly gay official in the history of the United States. Bessent says of Trump, "President Trump is devoid of prejudice when it comes to sexual preference." Bessent agrees that we should return to a merit-based society. But Pastor Buddy says lesbian and transgender children are being scared for their lives. If they're scared for their lives, it's only because people on the left keep projecting ideas that falsely portray conservatives, straw men to be frightened of. Neither Christians, nor conservatives, nor Republicans have advocated any kind of violence toward gay people or anyone else. Yes, such incidents occur from time to time, but they're rare. And they're punishable by law. That law has not changed. But saying such a thing doesn't fit the leftist narrative. And speaking of narrative, Pastor Buddy was claiming to be representing the God of the Bible. She was not. She may hold her views sincerely, but when she claims to be representing the Bible, she is not being sincere. She knows what the Bible says about this lifestyle. If she's ignoring it, that disqualifies her from being a pastor. If by chance she's unaware of it, which I think is next to impossible, that would also make her unqualified to be a pastor because a pastor is supposed to know the Bible. My friends, you can't just cherry pick from the Bible. Yes, the Bible says God is loving. Yes, the Bible says God is merciful. But the Bible says a lot of other things too, such as listing the sins we are guilty of, the reasons we need God's mercy and forgiveness is because of our sin. The Bible calls homosexuality a sin. The Bible commands men not to look like women. The Bible commands women not to look like men. If you don't like what I'm saying right now, take it up with the Bible. I'm not sharing an opinion. I'm referring to passages of Scripture, Romans 1, 1 Corinthians 11, if you want to go take a look at them. That doesn't mean God hates gays. That doesn't mean God commands us to hate gays or commands any violence against gays. God doesn't hate anyone, and we're all guilty of sin. Let me say that again. We are all guilty of sin. If not one sin, then we're guilty of another. Our message as Christians is forgiveness. But forgiveness and affirmation are not the same thing. And just for the record, as a Christian, I'm fine with Besant's appointment. His sexual preference makes no difference to his job as Secretary of the Treasury. I'm sure he's going to do great in that job. It's when this lifestyle is shoved in our faces that we have a problem. For years, we used to hear, what goes on in our bedroom is our own business. Fine, then stop bringing us into your bedroom. As for mercy, what about mercy for women in locker rooms who don't want to undress in front of biological men? What about losing to men in sports simply because a man might claim to be a woman, but he's built different and he has an advantage? How about mercy for Riley Gaines, who lost to a trans man at a swim meet and whose life was literally in danger while speaking about this at a university? She had to barricade herself in a room as protection from an angry mob, a mob wanting to teach her a lesson in the name of tolerance and inclusion. How about mercy for a girl raped in a public school bathroom by a boy who claimed to be a girl? Or mercy for her father, who was called a terrorist by our Justice Department just for going to a PTA meeting and complaining? How about mercy for children who are told that they may really be of the opposite sex? How about mercy for their parents in states like California and Minnesota who can lose custody of their children if they object to sex change operations? And how about mercy for people who have had sex change operations, who regret them, who speak openly about them as mutilations? But Buddy is also calling for mercy to illegal immigrants, saying most are not criminals. I agree. We should all agree. That's very obvious. Most are not criminals. That is, most are not violent criminals, but they are here illegally. That is a crime. Now, look, I don't blame them. I don't blame anyone for wanting to live in our country. By the way, if our country were really as racist and hateful as the left makes it out to be, people wouldn't be breaking the law for a chance to live here, would they? You see, these woke narratives always end up contradicting themselves. But back to mercy. What about mercy for American citizens who lost jobs to illegal migrants? And don't give me that tired drivel about how they are doing the work we won't do. That sounds like the old Roman caste system. This from the people always lecturing us on segregation or apartheid. We'll have full citizens who only do a certain kind of work, the work they like, and then we'll have legal non-citizens doing the kind of work we don't want to do. So yes, many are peaceful, but they take away jobs from those who would be willing to do their kind of work or any kind of work just to feed their families. They're also given free health care, free college tuition. Now, nothing's really free, so who pays for that? You do. Our tax dollars are paying for people who are here illegally. Our country simply cannot afford this. And despite the fact that many migrants are peaceful, those policies and sanctuary cities protecting them are also protecting the violent criminals who are here illegally. How about mercy for the victims of the violence? How about poor children brought over the border and then into sex trafficking, modern-day slavery? How about Laken Riley, Rachel Morin, or other women and girls raped and murdered by illegal migrants? My friends, I am sick and tired of self-righteous, sanctimonious leftists who not only believe in redistribution of wealth, but are now going to redistribute who should and should not receive mercy. This is Bob Siegel, making the obvious obvious.
As if you haven't figured it out by now, Bob is mildly opinionated about the ultimate issues of life. but Bob also respects the opinions of others. To offer your own viewpoint or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, give us a call at 1-888-344-1170, 1-888-344-1170. You can also reach Bob through Facebook or questions@bobsiegel.net. When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Always good to be joined by my good friend, Pastor Jim Barrier.
Who, by the way, is a pastor and talks about politics.
Oh, well, what do you know?
Just to kind of confirm what you were talking about earlier, great intro there. I agree with everything you were saying, Bob. But we live in controversial times. And I don't know that there's been a president in my lifetime more controversial than our current president, Donald Trump. Now, I wanted to talk a little bit about his inauguration address and some things I observed, just some things that stood out in my mind. And you addressed a few of them, so I'm going to skip a couple of points because you covered it very well. But this statement that President Trump made kind of sums up everything else he said. This is a quote from Donald Trump's inaugural address. I will very simply put America first. And that's the nutshell. Everything else that he talked about is because that is really what he believes and what he intends to do.
Well, and that's the way it's been for years. Everything he says is just common sense. And the fact that common sense has become controversial, that we're a nation that's going to have borders like every other nation in the world, like we're a nation that's going to punish criminals. We're a nation that wants to have our own energy. He's radical because he's just going back to normal. But the problem is we've had a new normal for a long time.
And particularly the last 4 years under the Biden administration, it was just 180 degrees the opposite. It was not putting America first. It was putting everybody else first. And our people suffered. Our cities suffered. So
I just cheered when that guy finally crawled back under the rock he crawled out of.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. I was not fond of the former
the absolute president. Worst president in the history of the United States. Absolutely.
Well,
we've
certainly
had, we've had
life,
other bad ones.
It was something. So we're glad to be free from that. And, you know, well, I don't want to fast forward too much, but there was a pastor from Detroit who gave part of the closing prayers, and he basically took word for word a lot of Martin Luther King's freedom speech, this I Have a Dream speech. The inauguration was on Martin Luther King Day, so that was something else. But I felt like saying, free at last, free at last.
Yeah,
thank God Almighty, we're free at last.
Yeah, we've all had a dream the last 4 years.
Yeah, and I'm pleased with how things have turned out. I'm pleased with everything that Mr. Trump said. I'm going to highlight some more of these things. Some of them were kind of surprising, and some of them were not. Here's a few more quotes. I love them. From this moment on, and I don't know if you noticed, a couple of times he glanced over at Mr. and Mrs. Biden when he made comments.
Oh, it must not have been easy to be Joe Biden and sitting and listening to that thing.
Oh, they were.
Although my theory is they probably told Joe that he was getting inaugurated and he had won a second time. And that's probably how he got through it.
Yeah, he might have been clueless. But from this moment on, America's decline is over. and that's what he said. Now, this one was interesting. He referred to one of the assassination attempts and a bullet grazed him, hit him in the ear. And he said, "I was saved by God to make America great again."
Now, I can understand how outrageous that might sound to people, but you know what? That is the absolute truth. I have no trouble believing that at all.
I think it was divine intervention. He said, "For American citizens, January 20th, 2025, is Liberation Day." I thought, yeah, I can go with that. I felt like we were set free from a lot of oppression, a lot of...
Yeah, and we're celebrating by renaming the Gulf of Mexico.
Well, we're going to get to that. Don't get ahead of me. Oh, my.
There's so much going on, and he did more this one week than Biden did the last 4 years.
Oh, absolutely. Here's a quote talking about wherever he is in his relationship with God. "We will not forget our country, we will not forget our Constitution, and we will not forget our God." Great statement for a president. And then he went on to some specific things. "I will declare a national emergency at our southern border," which is really just declaring what already exists, but he's going to acknowledge that it's a national emergency. "We will be designating the cartels as foreign terrorist organizations." Wow. He didn't make any friends there. And I hope they have great security on him, because he made so many enemies just in his inauguration address. They need to protect him round the clock everywhere he goes, because there are people that hate him.
I pray for his safety every day. And these fires we've been getting could be acts of terrorism for all we know, just taking advantage of the idiot policies of the states.
I love this one. It's got a great rise out of the crowd. "I will declare a national energy emergency. We will drill, baby, drill." You know, I know a lot of people out here in the state of Texas that loved hearing that.
And I loved him going to that world conference and calling it the Green New Scam right to their faces.
Yeah. And that, he said, "I will end the Green New Deal. We will revoke the electric vehicle mandate." Man, I was just jumping up and down.
I felt like a kid in a candy store all week.
Yeah. I felt like I was in a Pentecostal church, boy. I wanted to run the aisles.
It's like we've awakened from a nightmare, and now we're waiting to awaken from a good dream.
Yeah. Here's another one. I love the terminology. "We are establishing an external revenue service." I love that.
And did you hear that something like 88,000 agents for the Internal Revenue Service that Biden hired, he's going to transfer them to the southern border and let them work the border instead of working on taxes? You got to love
this
guy.
That'd be great. Yeah. There might be a few resignations handed in at that point.
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah.
See, you can't fire anybody once they work for the government, or it's at least virtually impossible. So what he's doing is reassigning them. And hopefully we'll get a lot of resignations and get rid of them that way.
Hopefully. "I will sign an executive order to immediately stop all government censorship and bring back free speech."
Yeah, which is just the First Amendment. Why do we need an executive order to bring back the First Amendment? But those are the days we're living in. We did need that.
Well, you know, because there have been moves to the, I forget what they call it, it's kind of an equality thing that for every hour of conservative views, you have to post an equal amount.
Oh, yeah, the fairness doctrine, the so-called
fairness doctrine. That's why he has to have an executive order to keep free speech.
Okay, hold with me, Jim. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
This is Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle.
So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated, license number 480539, W&S Electric.
Check out these terrific customer reviews for Bob Siegel's science fiction novel, Push the Winds Around. Another winner from Mr. Siegel. I've always loved the time travel stories, and this one takes a creative approach. Like H.G. Wells' classic, it delves into morals and metaphysics. And as any good time travel mystery, it leaves you satisfied while raising questions at the same time. Here's another review. Quick, thought-provoking, enjoyable read. And just one more. My kind of book. Adventure, fun, excitement, suspense, time travel, love, and a day at the beach. What's not to like? A great book to lose yourself in. Happy reading. Push the Winds Around. Available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show, our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. Say hello again to Jim Barrier.
Okay, moving on with some more statements from Trump's inaugural address. I love this one. I will reinstate any service members who were unjustly expelled from the military for objecting to the COVID vaccine mandate with full back pay.
I love that. I just wanted to stand up and applaud with almost every one of these.
Yeah, that was just great stuff. Now, here's a few. You mentioned one of Peterson's statements that have really triggered people already. We are going to be changing the name of the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America.
Now, and I got to just say for the record, I don't care what we call the Gulf, but if he wants to change the name to the Gulf of America, why do people have to come up in arms over it? What is the big deal? It sounds like something Trump would want to do, so let him do it. Although, does he have the authority? Can a president just name something? I don't know if names have to go through any kind of legislative process.
Well, how do you think that Mount McKinley got changed?
Yeah, Obama did it.
Mount Denali.
Yeah.
So there you go. Which, you know, he said, I will restore the name Mount McKinley, named after the great.
He loves McKinley. McKinley apparently was a personality like him. And McKinley was one of the presidents who was assassinated. Of course, that attempt has been unsuccessful with Trump, but I could see why he relates to him.
Yeah. Well, I immediately had a concern the economic repercussions this will bring about. What is GMC going to do with all of the pickup trucks called Denalis? They'll have to get new name tags for their trucks. But yeah, that's a bold thing. It's a crazy thing. I've seen things.
And then when Texas secedes, they have to name it the Gulf of Texas. It's just going to go on and on, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, you still have the Gulf of California down there.
Yep.
Just south of San Diego. So
yeah, that's right.
That's something. This one's a little more controversial, but it really has ticked some people off. China is operating the Panama Canal, and we didn't give it to China. We gave it to Panama, and we're taking it back.
Well,
oh boy.
We built it. We paid for it. Thousands of Americans died building it. And Jimmy Carter, that
Jimmy
horse's
Carter.
Rear end, goes and sells it to them for $1. Of course we should take it back.
Yeah. And what he's doing, he's reversing a lot of things that liberal presidents have done. Those are examples
But the judges never mind the executive orders when liberals do it. It's only when they get reversed that they create a constitutional crisis.
Yeah, and we'll see whether he can successfully do those things.
Well, the one he's going to have the most resistance on is trying to get rid of birthright citizenship. But I'm totally on board with that, because that is not the purpose of the 14th Amendment. Everybody's saying we need a new amendment for that. We don't. We need to understand the purpose of the 14th Amendment. And just in case people don't think the language is clear, the people that drafted that amendment have written down exactly what they meant, and they never meant for it to be interpreted the way it's been interpreted.
Which is the case for an awful lot of constitutional amendments.
Exactly.
I love this one. We will pursue our manifest destiny into the stars, launching American astronauts to plant the stars and stripes on the planet Mars. And now,
well, you know why he's doing this. He wants to build the first hotel. He wants a Trump hotel on Mars. That's why he's doing that.
Oh, my. Now, the problem for me with that is manifest destiny was a 19th century doctrine that the United States had the right to expand throughout North America, the continent. So it's a bit of a stretch to take it all the way to Mars. On the other hand, they laughed at JFK when he said, we will send a man to the moon and return him safely to this planet this decade.
And it happened. What? It happened in the year 1969.
1969. Any of us that were alive and old enough to remember it were sitting in front of a TV somewhere. My pastor brought a TV into church, and that was a church that didn't believe in TVs. And you know, it sounds laughable, but I think it's his vision. What he wants to do is make America great. That's what he's talked about all along the way. He wants to put America first. And so these things, the Gulf, the mountain, Panama Canal, the canal thing is really an important thing. But what it is, it's a statement that we want America to be prominent. We want to be proud of our country. We want people to respect us. And I think it all comes into that broad umbrella. Okay, Don, maybe you got one of your billionaire friends that's got a spaceship, and I don't know. Maybe that will happen.
Sure Elon Musk will throw something together.
Well, you know, and speaking.
Oh, yeah, you're going to talk about the outrageous claim of him claiming he gave a Hitler salute?
Well, that's just stupid stuff, because since then, people have gone online and posted pictures of just about
everybody did, and Elizabeth Warren, AOC, and he was saying, I love you, and he started by touching his heart, and it's not like we haven't seen the guy jump up and down. He's kind of goofy. He does those kinds of things. They don't know what else to do anymore except play that stupid Hitler card. And yet their policies are much more reminiscent of the things Hitler really did. Redistribution of wealth, anti-Semitism. The Dems are now the party of anti-Semitism. For all their talk about Hitler, they're just projecting what they themselves actually are.
Yeah, the weaponizing of the federal government. All of those kind of things. Now, speaking of Musk, I was trying to pay attention. I've never seen so many billionaires in one room, much less on the inaugural platform. You had Elon Musk, Mark Zuckerberg,
Jeff Bezos
of Google, Jeff Bezos, Tim Cook of Apple, Sam Altman of OpenAI.
It's just amazing how the times have changed, how they've all just switched over and they're kissing his ring.
Well, it makes sense to me, for one. And I thought, look at all the billionaires that he's hanging out with. Well, you associate with your peers. Trump's a billionaire. What's the problem?
And
he didn't make as money as a politician.
And Biden tried to call them oligarchs because they're wealthy. This from the man that gave the Medal of Freedom to George Soros.
Yeah, I posted a thing at one time. It was a picture of Soros and a picture of Musk. And it said, my foreign-born billionaire can beat up your foreign-born billionaire. It wasn't just that there were billionaires. All of these people are in the field of electronics, the internet.
Well, and money is neutral. It's how the money is used. It's like a baseball bat. Yeah. You can use it to play baseball, or you could use it to club somebody on the head. So the question is not whether there's millionaires. The question is, what are those millionaires trying to do? Soros is trying to destroy America and bring about globalism. He's made no bones about it. That's not a conspiracy theory. All you have to do is listen to what he's actually saying he wants to do.
Yeah, read the stuff that he said, yeah. And all of these guys benefit from a strong American economy. Their lives are built on capitalism. So it didn't surprise me. It was just so many of them. I thought, wow, I don't know that I've ever seen that many billionaires all at once. That impressed me. A couple of other things that were not political that I did like. I loved Carrie Underwood, who had to improvise because the music didn't start. So she sang a cappella. sang America the Beautiful. That was pretty cool.
She did a good job, but boy, I hope somebody got fired. That was quite a flub up. The guy had one job, just turn on the stupid music.
Okay. Yeah.
But kudos to her. Then, she pulled it off with class.
Yeah, she did.
Okay, hold with me, Jim. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show. Looking for a church that will not only challenge you but help you to feel like a part of a family? Why not try Skyline Church, located in Rancho San Diego near 94 in Hamishaw? I can testify firsthand to Skyline because I myself am a member. When you visit, tell them Bob Siegel sent you and ask about that free week-long trip to Bermuda for first-time visitors. They'll look at you like they don't know what you're talking about, and you will not, in fact, get any free trip to Bermuda. But you'll still be glad for a chance to experience Skyline Church. You don't want to go to Bermuda anyway. Too hot. And people who approach that area have been known to disappear. But they don't disappear at Skyline. Those who visit usually can't wait to come back.
Skyline Church.
You know, Jim, I remember when Trump was first campaigning in the primary back in 2015 and 16. Neither one of us was a fan, but he kind of grew on us, especially after he was elected the first time and kept as many of his campaign promises as the rhino Republicans would allow him to keep.
Yeah, he really won me over when he became president and the things that he did. And I thought, okay, it wasn't just all talk. Speaking of not just being talking, but action, here's some things that he did. In the first 48 hours, he started signing executive orders, which no one could complain because Joe Biden did that.
And did you like the way he did it on the stage and was throwing out the pens? It was like people were at a ball game catching fly baseballs.
Yeah.
I loved it.
So here's some things that he did. Okay, he ended the DEI programs. That's diversity, equality.
That may have been the most significant thing that he did.
Yeah, that was huge. And reforming federal hiring to make it based on merit, not on all these other crazy things. This is significant. He put a freeze on federal hiring, military being exception to that. Restoring freedom of speech and ending federal censorship. That's huge. He withdrew the U.S. from the World Health Organization, from the Paris Climate Agreement, and from the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development Global Tax Deal. That's big stuff, folks.
Any removal from anything global is just fine with me.
Yeah, and that is America First. In fact, he passed the America First Policy Directive to the Secretary of State, the America First Trade Policy. So he did all of these things, again, to put America first. That's what he said. I will put America first. And he went right into action. We're so used to politicians that just make promises and don't keep them. And he made promises, and he's keeping them. Now, I'm going to shift gears just a little bit because I know we've only got a little bit of time left. But watching the inauguration, you know, they had to move it inside because of the weather. And I think it was also, I was glad because I was concerned about security in the open air, but they moved it inside because of the freezing cold weather, and they took it into the rotunda at the Capitol Dome. Now, I've been in that building several times. I don't know if you've ever had the privilege of
visiting. No, I have not been to Washington, D.C. other than to change planes, and I saw nothing.
Well, I've been there a few times, and I'm always moved. I'm moved by the monuments. I'm moved by the things in the Smithsonian Institute, and particularly moved in the Capitol. And here's one of the things. I don't know if you noticed, but all along the walls there are these 12-foot by 18-foot paintings that go completely around the rotunda. And I have seen those in person several times. Here's your separation of church and state, Bob. Among those paintings, what they do is they depict historical incidents, much like the tapestries in the castles in Europe that you might visit. And these paintings are portraying things that happened in American history. A lot of them are military things that took place, but it's the history of America in these paintings. And among these paintings are the baptism of Pocahontas. There's a whole painting dedicated to a baptismal service hanging on the wall of the rotunda in the Capitol Dome.
Now, did the painting of Pocahontas resemble Elizabeth Warren? I'm just curious.
No, but there is one painting. I didn't mean to mention it here, but there is one painting of a battle of surrender in one particular painting. And one of the men on the horse looks so much like Elvis, I can't look at it without laughing. I mean, Elvis Presley was in the Revolutionary War. It's amazing.
Well, you know, Jim, these homages to religion just haven't been discovered yet or thought about by Ilhan Omar and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. They just haven't thought about it yet.
No. So that was one, a baptism. There was another one. The title is The Discovery of the Mississippi, and it includes, in a corner of the painting, a monk praying at the foot of a cross.
Oh, my goodness. That's just fascism. That's fascism, Jim.
Well, you know, I'm just saying, all these people with their blah, blah, blah about church and state, and you well documented the validity of that concept. I understand what was said. It was not in the Constitution. It was not in the Bill of Rights. It's nowhere in the official document. It was something that...
It was a law to protect the freedom of the church, not to restrain the church.
Yeah, and the amendment says that Congress shall pass no law...
Restricting
that
religious freedom.
Restricts the expression of religious freedom. So they get it all wrong. Okay, now there's another one, and it's the embarkation of the pilgrims. And it's a painting of Pastor John Robinson holding a big Bible in his hand while leading the families in prayer. The families of Governor Carver, William Bradford, Miles Standish, and their families are all there. And there's this pastor praying for them with his Bible wide open. That is on a painting 12 foot by 18 foot in your Capitol Dome, in the rotunda, on the walls of our nation's capital. Somebody's confused about the separation of church and state. And somebody's confused about where the founding fathers were.
And just the history of our country and its roots in Christianity altogether. Okay, Jim, hold with me for one more segment. We'll be right back.
The much-anticipated sequel to The Dangerous Christmas Ornament is finally here, Inside the Castle in the Glass. Mike Owen is now in high school enjoying his new girlfriend and his new popularity. But life gets interrupted when a series of mishaps transfer him and his friends into a whole new world, the very world his mysterious Christmas ornament originated from. Inside the Castle in the Glass. Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
I'm Dr. David Poole, president of San Diego Christian College. If you've been thinking about getting your pilot's license and a degree in aviation, come fly with us. We have a long history of producing aviation leaders. Whether your focus is on commercial, missionary, or military, we're ready to help you achieve your goals from a Christian worldview. So look us up at sdcc.edu. That's sdcc.edu. San Diego Christian College. Come fly with us.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show and one more segment with Jim Barrier.
Okay. Now, you have probably heard this a number of times. There was a French philosopher and historian in the 1800s, Alex de Tocqueville, and he was a fan of America. He visited America and was very impressed with what he saw, and he made this statement: America is great because she is good. You ever heard that?
I've heard the phrase.
Well, it came from a Frenchman, and he said, America is great. And he talked about the great things that America did to take care of people, her own people, and then other people in need, other foreign neighbors. And he said, America is great because she is good. If America ceases to be good, America will cease to be great.
Yeah, and George Washington said something similar at his farewell address, only he put it in terms of, if we ever abandon God, we will go down the tubes.
You know who else said that? Thomas Jefferson. I have visited the Jefferson Memorial several times. It's a beautiful memorial, and on the inside are plaques with quotes by Thomas Jefferson. And he talks so much about God and the Bible and faith. I don't know where people get the idea that he was an unbeliever. He didn't adhere to the doctrine of the Trinity.
Yeah, but he certainly believed that God and providence had a lot to do with our nation.
And he believed that it was inseparable to our freedom and our survival as a nation.
Yeah, you've got to be good and you've got to have faith in God or your republic can't last. Or, well, you could still be a republic, but you'll be more like the People's Republic of China, if you want to call that a republic.
Yeah, right. Now, for the last 8-9 years or more, we've had a saying that has become, to some people, a religious proverb, to others, a joke. But it says, let's make America great again. This is Mr. Trump's slogan. And people wear red hats with the MAGA hats, and it's become something of a colloquialism. People know that phrase, make America great again. And I thought about that in context with this quote about America is great because she is good. So I'm going to start. I might get some hats printed up and say, make America good again.
That's good. Well, then you won't have to have the hat change. It'll be the same letters in it.
Yeah, it's still the same letters, but...
Well, we could just put in another A and say, make America America again, which is really what's going on.
Well, and if they'll quit erasing history, and they'll go back and actually look at history and look at the Founding Fathers, not just the Founding Fathers, all through our history, the greatness of this nation that was based on its moral goodness, its belief in moral absolutes, its belief in a creator, we need to return to those values. And I know I sound like a dinosaur when I talk like this, but it's the truth. If we fail, it'll be because we cease to be good. If we become great, it will be because we are good again. And the only path to true goodness is to adhere to the principles of faith of the Judeo-Christian ethic. That is the foundation for goodness in America. I won't apologize for that. And you're not going to argue me out of that. You don't have a case to try to disprove that. And we need to return to those things with just as much enthusiasm as we do to see a good economy again, to see a secure border and all of those things, which are very, very important. But we must be a people who have a good heart, people who believe in truth, people who believe in justice and righteousness. And we can't be so timid anymore that we're afraid to speak out against evil, that we're afraid to call bad things bad. That's my case. Now, I have been on the show many times over the years, and I have often ended with thoughts like this. This country's survival and success hinges on an American awakening. There needs to be a spiritual awakening. And when there is, America will be good. And when America is good, she will be great. So if we want to make America great again, we need to pray that there will be a spiritual awakening, renewal, revival, whatever words you want to use. There needs to be a sweeping move through our land. Not just that the economy would be healed. That's not good enough. Not just that the border is secured. That's not good enough. We need to secure our spiritual borders. And we need to start calling truth, truth. And Mr. Trump, whatever kind of believer he is, I don't know. He acknowledges God. He mentions God. But for him to do the things he's doing, as far as gender preference and DEI and all these things, the things he's trying to bring about, I think, are ushering in goodness, and they're based on spiritual truths.
Well, and regardless of his beliefs, I don't know if he would pass a test as an evangelical. Obviously, God is using him, and he's protecting our religious freedoms more than a lot of evangelicals have. Okay,
yes,
Jim,
sir.
We're out of time, but it's always great having you.
Thank you, Bob.
All right.
The Bob Siegel Show is sponsored in part by the law offices of Matthew Simone.